The following is a Stick Boy We Talk production.
The following contest scheduled for one fall.
I am the man.
If you're the man, what the rock is talking. Woo! The best there is.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the One Fall Podcast. Joshua Adelaide Marathon with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
How goes it?
And the pastis, the crown prince of charisma, Mo.
You got a lot of nicknames.
I could use two or three more. I'm not Jericho yet.
Knock both of them down this time, so just saying.
Yeah, that's pretty good for your memory. Thanks.
Yeah, right. So we are on the...
Oh, the king of trivia. You forgot that.
There you go, the king of trivia. We are on the back dirt mud road to WrestleMania.
We're on a little scooter and it's puttering along, but we're going to get there. It's not held in a nice big stadium. It'll be in a nice small little stage where no one else is allowed in, but no, we're getting there.
Yeah, we're getting there. We're there now. And, I mean, obviously, this WrestleMania is going to be one that's always going to be looked back at under such great circumstances of why and how we got here. It's always going to be looked back as the pandemic, the COVID WrestleMania, of how they got there. We're going to look at this card. There's 16 matches. There's two nights. There's so many little things coming into this as too, as far as the pay-per-view providers and everything, splitting it up in two nights. But also the big thing that's going to be coming from this will be what COVID did and what we didn't get, what we would have got for this WrestleMania. There's going to be all those conversations. And was it the right decision to do it? I know, you know, Ric Flair was asked that question today at ESPN. Hunter was asked that question today at ESPN. Hunter did a much better job answering those questions than Flair did.
What a surprise.
Yeah. But this is going to be one of those that we look back at many years now and be like, huh, all right then.
And I do think that the card that we're going to run through, the 16 matches, I don't think we're going to be getting all of them, or I think we'll get some sort of tweak to them as this has gone on, because I think that while the reports came out today and said that there is no AEW talent that has tested positive for COVID-19, and there's
more WWE.
So both of them have not had a positive test for it, which is a very good thing considering the risk both companies took the last, 2 weeks, 3 weeks of spitting out content. I do think there's going to be some diversion on the card.
Yeah, I think you're
right. There's already been a ton, and their willingness to tell us what is up is, you know, strange. Their unwillingness, because everybody's going to be understanding considering the situation, but they're I don't know, they seem paranoid.
This is the one situation where if you just came out and said, guys, Roman's out, so Josh, if you want to give us your best broadcasting voice on how they got to Braun versus Brock. Spoiler for anyone not aware of what's happening. How did we get here?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, last week you saw that it was a tragic fall by Elias falling down. We don't know if he is going to be okay and suited for his match at WrestleMania 36. It is too big to fit into one night. That's right, we're going to two different nights. But as of right now, that match looks to be going ahead, but we'll have to see how Elias does. And the World Heavyweight Championship. You got Bill Goldberg, and of course, a new challenger in Braun Strowman.
So that's how we got to it. But my theory is, and based on some reports, is they probably shot something for SmackDown with Roman and Goldberg, because Roman didn't pull out until they were recording Mania. So they had already recorded SmackDown and everything, had everything done. And now we're at this point where Roman's leaving. So you can't write Roman off TV or get him attacked or anything. So you've got him gone. and you sub in Braun because you're like, well, we got to go this way. So it makes sense in some ways that they couldn't have recorded anything for this SmackDown, but how this was handled was incredibly, incredibly, incredibly just mind-numbingly dumb, because like you said, this is a point where everyone would be more understanding of, like, oh, this has to change because of this. You kicked off Monday, and you mentioned that in the broadcast going, look, Roman's not competing because of this reason, so because of that, he has vacated his spot, and by the Board of Governors, or the governing body of professional wrestling, Braun Strowman has been awarded Roman's spot, and they'll be wrestling at Mania. Simple and easy, and it could have been like, it's so simple and easy, it's a simple little line of dialogue that you have Michael Cole say, and then we all move on with it. The way it was presented here was just so lazy, and just speaks to the state of everything right now.
Like, they don't technically, I guess, right now they're not using an authority figure, but if there was a time that you needed a Jack Dunne to come on your screen and just simply announce something, this is it. But the other thing is, I know you can't technically tape an injury angle or anything like that. You don't really have to. What you could do is certainly film something at least on Skype with the two men, you know, challenging each other or something like that. Like, there's a lot of things they could have done that would have shown 5% more effort.
First of all, Hunter, when asked about how this would happen, he said it will be done in a unique way.
I saw that.
Well, it definitely was unique. Unique.
What he said was Roman Reigns' storyline will play out in a unique way, which I'm still waiting for.
Right. I mean, this is what I would have done. I would have gone on Monday Night Raw. You're filling airtime anyways. Show the Roman Reigns Instagram clip. Show it and be like, unfortunately, Roman Reigns, due to concerns in the COVID-19 virus and a two-time leukemia survivor, has chosen to back out of this World Championship match. That match, we're still deciding to find out on SmackDown. So there you go, number one. You put a real-life reason for, like we talked about the other day, that they have attacked at times for some fucking crazy-ass reason.
Yeah, but you give... here's just one thing that's an interesting caveat to this. He may be gone. He could be gone for up to 18 months, is the reports.
Yeah.
Because it could be that long until something is out. If he disappears without them saying anything... without doing exactly what you just said or more, for 18 months when he's the star he is, it's crazy.
Yeah, and I mean, what you said, Josh, is perfect, because not only does it admit the reality, it also gives us as the audience this believable and sympathetic reason for where Roman's at, because you hear it, and you hear what he's doing by stepping away is he's doing right by himself for his health, but he's also doing what's right for his family and everyone else around him. So it's a bigger, you can easily spin it like the Carney wrestling way of doing things. You can spin it where this guy did the right thing and he stepped away from something that he's been chasing since he's gotten back. It's an easy story to tell, and not only is it an easy story, it's a real story that comes from a real place that I just think more people would be hooked into, and it would help elevate Roman to that next level in some ways, because you would have, because the one thing Roman lacked was an emotional connection from the audience. No one had an emotional connection. He was just the guy the company wanted to push forward. But with what you said, creates that emotional attachment that the audience can have with Roman, that's a real, genuine, he stepped up and he did something that a lot of people have been struggling with. It's not been easy to stay home, but he made the ultimate sacrifice. He's probably going to win the title, and he was willing to walk away from that to make sure that his daughter has a father. And I think that... it just, whether you're going to use it for promotional material or not is another thing, but it just having that out there creates that feel good moment of while this all sucks, you can see a guy like Roman step up. And I think that would be a huge influence on kids, because his fan base seems to be similar to Cena's, where it's a lot younger. And those kids see it and they go, well, if Roman's willing to make that sacrifice, then I'm willing to stay at home because I don't want anyone else getting sick. And that's what we need of what we more need now is people, big figures like that, stepping up and going, I'm staying home because of this. A genuine, legitimate reason.
Well, and again, you add the reason, too, of it's more the real life thing, right? The one thing that WWE really hasn't done, and forgive me because I haven't seen as much AEW as you guys have, just kind of seen YouTube stuff, but neither one has really seemed to examine the reality of what's going on. And you add that reality of what everybody in the world is going on. And again, if you're going to take any bonus out of this, you babyface Roman all the way, because there's millions of people right now being like, sympathize with, oh, well, I have underlying conditions, much like a Roman does. And he's staying home to protect his family, much like I am. And at least that way you have a reason why Roman's out. Everybody in the world pretty much knows why Roman Reigns isn't out. And if they don't, they can just have it at their fingertips to find out why he's out.
Well, they're going to have to, because they didn't tell us.
Exactly. And now you've left the situation of being like, well, if you just, for some reason, don't even watch ESPN, because they're talking about it on ESPN today. If you're completely blind to whatever, you're just like, oh, where'd Roman go? And you have no explanation of where Roman went at all. And you're just like, and why is Braun getting this? You know, if it was a throwaway pay-per-view, like a No Way Out or something, we would still be mad about this, but we'd be like, whatever, it's No Way Out. Who gives a fuck? This is still WrestleMania. I know it's a different WrestleMania, but still, like, you could have done something on it. You could have had Roman dropped out. You could have had, you know, like Mo said, there's no authority figure, but Hunter's kind of been on front of this, and Hunter could be like, well, like, we need someone to come out, and so I'm counting on the WWE superstars. Show me who wants us the most. And you could have had fun with social media or something to try to have guys come out and do something with their Instagrams or something like that. You could have been really creative with this, and they chose not to. And it's, again, the thing that I've seen in AEW is AEW's been very creative with how do we make things work with this empty arena and with this pandemic, and how can we make things work? Jericho talking to a fucking drone. They've done a really good job with things like that. And with something like this, it's so big. Even if you just had something like Roman steps up and Braun goes, I wasn't finished with him. I took him out. He was a weak ass. You don't even have to talk about COVID. You can be like, I've been looked over time and time again. I told him I wasn't finished with him, and I got rid of him, and you're not going to see him for a long time because I want that World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania because I've never had my moment. So Roman's out and I'm in. And if not, you're all going to have a problem or something like that.
It would have been better than what they did. I mean, you came up with that in 3 seconds.
Yep.
You know, and they had all the resources to do it. It's crazy. Like, I don't understand how it is that they can possibly try and push the narrative that they constantly push about being for the fans and this and that. And we see this lazy effort from them. It's, I don't know, guys. Like, it's the type of thing that you wish you could say, oh, this doesn't make me feel that, or, you know, it doesn't make me think any less of the WWE. But it does, you know, because it just shows it's the laziness. Like, I can't get over that. Like, you guys wouldn't do that. You know, if you had the opportunity, you would have come up with something. And there's no reason they didn't.
You have to come up with something, right? Like, especially when you're like, your whole business, like, what time do we know this, Joe? Last Thursday we knew this? So they went over one SmackDown before. Like, they went over SmackDown and over a Raw with the knowledge that Roman was going to be part of it, correct?
I believe that's
right.
So.
I believe it was, I think it was just before. Well, because it broke as they were doing the Mania taping. So that was last week, because I think it was Thursday,
so
Friday.
They could have put something in, right? Like, if someone dies, they put the graphic before SmackDown. Even when when the Tuesday ones were taped and they aired them on Friday, if someone died on the Wednesday or something, or the Thursday or Friday morning, they put the graphic in the front of it, or they, you know, whatever. You could have very well been like, okay, this is happening. Roman, we need you to do the Instagram, say what's going on. Or, hey, we're going to get Braun. Braun, I need you to do this post and talk about this now.
I don't know if you guys have ever heard about Skype. Have you guys ever heard of this thing called Skype?
Fucking Zoom. It's everywhere.
Zoom, whatever. Why does Roman have to do an Instagram post? Why can't Roman talk to the camera from home as Joe, not as Roman, and say what he said in the Instagram post? Why does it even have to be an Instagram post? Why can't he just do that? And that would have been fine with everybody, wouldn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you look at how many news broadcasts now and news stories and interviews just in general are just done via Skype now, where it's just them talking and you have a little bit of the audio jittering and video jittering, but it doesn't matter because everyone understands what's happening.
Everyone understands.
So you go, okay, well, this, it's not going to be perfect, but this is that next step forward that will give us at least some sort of coverage and being honest and upfront with our audience and showing that we're trying our best right now. But it just feels as though they're not. And I do wonder if I wonder if Roman is upset with, especially with the rumors of Miz being
which sick. I have a note on, by the way, of that.
You
Hunter talked about on ESPN today. He said it's not true. And whether you want to believe Hunter or not, Stephanie has said this as well today.
I don't believe either one of them.
Yeah, he was asked about it on Mike and Golick today on that about. You know, we've heard, you know, some talk about potential sick wrestlers in your company or what's the testing you've done with this. And Hunter said, he's like, obviously, you know, like, we can't get the tests. He's like, it's hard to get the tests in the first place. So obviously, we don't have the tests on hand. He's like, nobody does unless you're like an NBA or NHL player. Like, he's like, we don't have them. But what we do is we have our doctors and one of the doctors was still the one that, you know, did the stuff on Punk. So take that guy for what you want to take him for. And he said, we, you know, test everyone's temperature when they come in the building. And if they don't show any of those symptoms and the doctors get the clear, then it's all good. And then one of the guys kind of mentioned like, well, you know, our own Doris Burke, you know, she has COVID, but she's not showing any symptoms. What about those type of people? And Hunter's like, yeah, we're doing our best job. And I mean, in his side, like, yeah, like how do you, without the test, check if someone has it. They're, you know, checking the temperature is the best you can do, and luckily no one has it, but still, it kind of goes to the tone deafness of even doing these shows in the first place. But that kind of defunct, I don't know what the Miz thing was, or, you know, what it is, but no matter what you want to say what the Miz thing is, there is something that set Roman off to not do the match. Roman wouldn't have just left if he was already there to shoot and do his match with Bill. He was at the PC ready to have a match where he's going to win the world championship, and something spooked him enough that he got up and left in the middle of the show.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're 100% right. There was something, we don't know what, but something that made him say, I'm not doing this. And it was after he was there. So it can't be as simple as, as what they have. We know this about WWE. This is WWE's history for everything. They want to control the narrative. And they're not alone on that. A lot of companies want to control the narrative. You know, big corporations. That's basically life. But they want to control the narrative. And I that's why it's very difficult to take them at their word.
It is. I mean, you look at the Bryan thing, right? Their retelling of the Bryan story.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to go through that, but they've retold this Bryan story. Like, yeah, that's how we wanted it to go. Yep, that's what we happened to go. But never talk about that night in Seattle when Punk is laughing behind Hunter the entire time and Mark lifts up Bryan's arm. And it's like, yeah, you guys, this is getting stupid. Like, you don't really have a fucking choice anymore. Like, do this. They don't tell that side of the story. And with this, we'll never hear the full side of the story. But to have your World Heavyweight Championship match and to know since at least Wednesday or Thursday last week that you weren't going to do it and go through with SmackDown, first all, which is the show that title's on, and not promote anything. They're like, okay, well, whatever. sure, maybe you didn't have things in toe and time as an idea. Maybe you get a little pass on that. But then you get to Raw. Roman literally puts the Instagram post up. At that point, you still advertise it. That's the point where you have to be like, all right, you've all seen the Instagram post. Here it is. And at least at that point go, we will have an announcement on SmackDown who will face Goldberg. And even if it is as stupid as it was tonight, at least you have given your fans 5 days notice now that Roman is not in the main event. Instead, we've had ads and everything. Roman is your biggest star, your season star right now, potentially, is going to be at WrestleMania. And now we're less than 24 hours away from Mania, and now we just found out that he's not. Bad advertising. And I know card subject to change, but you've had the ability to change that card. You've had the subject to change it.
And not only that, but all these episodes are in the can and they're ready to go and they can be piped down and sent to the station so that they can broadcast them. Doesn't take much to go in and edit stuff. It really doesn't.
We saw that with the Bray and Cena segment.
The editing was definitely a part of that Bray and Cena segment. It tells me that editing was very much a part of this production. So it just, it's lazy. It screams of being lazy.
Get ready for the greatest jackhammer of all time, though. I will say that, because Bill's going to have as many chances as he wanted to for that jackhammer this time.
You think he's winning?
Yeah, I do think Bill's winning.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. Mainly because I just think that they do eventually want Roman to be Bill. And I also think that after this, from everything you do hear, that Strowman is in a bit of hot water, but it was just someone big enough that can, you know, Bill can destroy to make Bill look better.
Well, my only thing about that is that they had said, like I said, we don't know how long Roman is going to be out. It could be an extremely long period of time. And it looked very much like this was Goldberg's last match. Like, I'm not sure how much you want to continue. I mean, he was set up for one special match against one special person. And now that's not there, not happening. I'm not 100% sure that they're going to be wanting to go all in on him for that long. I could see them going to Strowman and quickly transitioning it off of him. And I think that's more likely.
And remember, just Money in the Bank got canceled, I think, a day ago, right? So we don't even know what's happening with Money in the Bank, and we don't know what's happening with the state of Florida. So we don't even know, like, after these shows are WWE, if this is it. If, like, who's ever the champion, it's just kind of the hovering champion for a while.
It's a lot like Naito in Japan. He won. I believe he had one. He defended the title against Kenta. That was his one and only title defense, correct, Mo?
Yeah, it was a good fucking match.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I believe so.
So then, and he's just been sitting there. And you're sitting as the double champion. You've blown past the New Japan Cup. They put a delay on Wrestling Dynasty for the MSG show, like ticket sales for that. And it's just more and more things are getting chipped away for Japan. So I think, much like Japan, I think WWE and AEW, a lot of these championships are going to just be floating champions because they're going to be left in purgatory. And I think Strowman, I could see Strowman taking the title because Strowman has shown that he is very much loyal to the WWE and WWE system. He's very much strikes me as a yes man right away, whatever you need, boss. So I could see them putting the title on it, but I think he would be a transitional champion. And I do wonder how much Goldberg wants to be involved and with all of this moving forward. I think I don't know. This could have been Bill's last match, but his last match, it'd be very weird for his last match to be in the PC. So I wonder if he wants to do one more, but I wonder if physically he's even wanting to do another match.
Yeah, even if he wants to do one more, he probably still wants, that doesn't mean he wants to continue working right away. And nobody knows when it's going to be that he can get out in front of people again. So, I mean, you know, it's, the thing about Strowman is, we say, you know, oh, he's in hot water or whatever. Yeah, okay, he made some insensitive comments on social media, and I'm not particularly fond of the guy, but who's making the call? You know, and how offended by those comments would he have been? No. Probably not very, right?
Vince just probably laugh about it. Mm-hmm. So I think that kind of sets where things would go moving forward.
Yeah. I guess the next thing I want to talk about before we kind of get to the card here is just a few comments that were made. I don't want to get too much in this because I don't want this pod to go too long, but the Cena comments that were made today saying WWE is aware of the schedule and wrestlers can take as much time as they want.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Speaking of company, man.
Mm-hmm. You hear the horns and you know exactly what you're getting. He is a WWE man through and through. He's probably the longest reigning just top guy. They cycle through decently in history, but he remained at the top for a long time. And I mean, he's got a loyalty to Vince. He's got a loyalty to WWE. So he's gonna toe the company line and he's gonna pump them up and make them look as good as possible.
Yeah, just because he's not like The Rock, where The Rock kind of, not that The Rock doesn't love WWE, but The Rock kind of left and you know, did his own thing. John Cena is still, he's left, but he's still very much, you know, he's very much still the company guy who's gonna exactly, like he's gonna use his platform to always push the WWE. You know, he's always gonna call it loyal, call it, I don't know. Call it a little bit. I don't know what the right word is, but it's not loyal. It's like it's.
He's the one guy that's never pissed off Vince. I think we can.
No, he's never pissed off Vince. But yeah, the word I'm looking for. But call it. It seems in poor taste in some ways. You know what I mean? Like call it a little bit pandering,
mm-hmm.
condescending.
Yeah.
You know. I think that's probably the word I'm looking. One of those is probably the word I'm looking for. But yeah, I mean, he's always going to continue to, just because he's gone, he's never going to say the wrong thing about WWE. He's never going to be honest.
No. So that happened. And then I guess the next thing before we kind of get into the show, the pay-per-view of how this is going to go tomorrow. So we all kind of knew Fox was going to do something, and they are. It's going to be on Fox pay-per-view. Those who are familiar with Fox pay-per-view, primarily they air the Manny Pacquiao fights. They have a deal with Pacquiao to show his fights. The big surprise is that this will also be airing on Fight, which mm-hmm. I think was a shock to a lot of people seeing that they would be on Fight.
Didn't we already talk about this or no? Or did we talk about this off air?
I think we talked about this off air. I don't know if we talked about it on air or not.
Okay.
We'll talk about it now. It's applicable to... To make, it, being on Fight is a very it's weird because when you go to the Fight website, you cycle through AEW, you see Revolution poster, then you see WrestleMania, then you see Ring of Honor, then you see MLW, and you see a few other small wrestling promotions, and then you see MMA, and you're like, it's really weird all of them grouped together like this.
Doesn't Jim Ross own a portion? I know at one point he did, and I don't know if it, you know, shortly after they started up, he bought a portion of that company. So
Fight?
Yeah, Fight. Yeah,
Jim could have. Yeah,
he invested. He invested into it. I'm not sure how much he has, or you know, but I just think that's very interesting. If Jim Ross is making some money off WWE.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, this could just be a sign of them trying to. Again, I mean, number one, if you're in the States specifically, I don't understand why you would go to either the Fox option or the Fight option when the network is literally free for WrestleMania. That makes no sense.
But
so I don't
but
know.
They're not pushing it that way, right? They're pushing. They badly want you to spend $60.
Yes.
They're sitting there going, "You're getting two nights for $60 because it's not like it's $60 for each. I mean, it is at least they're spreading it over two. My question is, say you're a casual fan and you really don't understand the network and you watch WrestleMania and you think, "Oh, this is great," and you're like, oh, and then you go and find out that you could have had it for $10. Aren't you as a fan going to go, you know what, screw you guys, I'm never coming back?
Yeah, I would say that's bad, but also do a little bit of your research too. But you maybe shouldn't have to do the research. But yeah, I'd be pretty pissed off.
Yeah, I think they potentially are pissing off a lot of people.
It'd be hilarious if they're like, thanks for joining us on the network. Remember, if you subscribe to the network today, you get WrestleMania for free, and then someone just paid $60.
Well, that's it. That would be... I mean, if you never had a membership, it is for free.
Yeah, yeah. My thing is, I want to see how many memberships are canceled on the night or on the Monday. I'm super interested in that number, because you know, just with people wanting to save money, it is going, and not knowing if Money in the Bank's going to happen and all that, like, it is going to just, I think it's going to have its biggest drop-off it's ever had on Sunday night / Monday, whenever. I mean, that 48 power period, it's going to be crazy. I know personally I'm canceling it.
I think more than likely, I think the reason that they've offered so many features for free is I think that they're almost kind of expecting this to happen, because I think they realize that people are unemployed, people have less spending money out there, and they're like, well, we know we're going to take a hit, everyone's taking a hit, so let's just cut bait a little bit, we'll let stuff be free so that people can still be using the app, so we can tout how many people were using it during the pandemic. And then when things kind of go back to whatever the new normal is, then we can bring it back to where it used to be and see how many people we can keep hooked on the network. Mm-hmm. And also, this is a perfect time for them to probably think that when things get back normal, they can start to slip in that pay-per-view model again and not have the new pay-per-views readily available on the network.
Right. So I guess my next question is now with, you know, we'll see where they go with that, the pay-per-views and everything. So this was split into two different nights. And, you know, we had kind of talked about after Wrestle Kingdom, would this be something they were going to do? Do you think this was always potentially a plan that they were going to announce it later this month and they were going to separate Hall of Fame and takeovers around? Or this was what happened because of the pandemic?
Pandemic.
Yeah, I agree. Every indication shows that they did not have this as their plan.
Mm-hmm. Do you think this is something that now that they see, that they may look at this for the Mania in LA now? If it works out to like, they kind of like the feeling of it or whatnot?
I could see them doing it, but if you remember, ticket sales for the second night for Wrestle Kingdom weren't nearly as good as the first night. So
is Wrestle Kingdom doing it again this year? Sorry, Joel.
I don't believe there's been any formal announcement.
They usually would announce that during the G1. So it's difficult to say.
Yeah, because we don't even know when the G1 is right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Ticket sales went down for night two. So I think if you're a smart businessman, you would be doing research on what happened in Japan and what their numbers were like for both nights. And if the projections are what has been reported, where night two had a drop off, I think you kind of go, well, maybe we'll just stick to one night. We'll keep just doing the one day for.
That said, when you're talking about the yes, okay, so they sold out the first night. Yeah. They still had 80% sales for the second night. It's not like it was a failure. It just didn't sell out again. Yeah. They still made a lot of money. So, I mean, if you're WWE, but we're talking about it's so far into the future right now. There's so much craziness. I don't think you can make any predictions about it.
There will not be a WrestleMania 37. Like, we may not have a WrestleMania 37, right? Like, we don't know. Like, and it's crazy. And some people are like, oh, no, we'll have WrestleMania 37. Like, I don't know.
Who knows? Far as I'm concerned, we're not having WrestleMania 36. I'm calling it Stubborn Mania.
Yeah. My next question is, as far as with this Mania... So as far as we know right now, Mania 37 is projected to be in the beautiful new stadium in Los Angeles. Everyone assumes 38 is going to be in Vegas in that new stadium. But does WWE kind of go like, well, we owe you one and go back to Tampa for 38? Or do you think that Tampa just kind of lost their chance for a while?
It's in
I think they go back.
Yeah, I think it's for in 38? Florida.
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's in Florida. PC's nearby. They seem to like running in Florida. The weather's decent for them. So I think all indications, and as long as there was nothing behind the scenes between Tampa Bay and Vince that left a sour taste in Vince's mouth or left a sour taste in Tampa Bay's mouth, I think they both realize that there's money to be made, and they will work together, and they will have a makeup mania for them.
So then Vegas 39, you think then?
I don't know the order.
And 40 and then 40 in New York.
Ooh, 40 in New York.
I think 40 in New York seems very likely, though they have broken with tradition a couple times recently. Yeah. But I think it seems very likely, yeah.
They could do 40 in New Orleans.
Well, they haven't gone back to Dallas for a while either yet now. It's been a second since they've been in Dallas. They may want to go back there as well.
Yeah, yeah. I hate the idea of seeing the same cities getting it over and over and over, but yeah, it does feel like that. I mean, because people put in bids, and what's the best bid, right?
I just want this Vegas mania because I'm going to probably – I mean, I will say this, during this pandemic and everything like that, it's kind of made me realize, you know, you never know when these events are going to come or gone. And I will say, if Mania 37 does happen, I'm starting to plan to possibly attend Mania 37 just to say I went to one.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I haven't been able to
do
it.
You got to go to one. I don't care what – I often don't have good things to say about WWE events, but I will always say go to a Mania. It's an incredible fun. It's not just there. It's a chance to see the old guys. There's all the small stuff going on. But even if you just stuck with the stuff in WWE and you know, the fan festival and everything like that, oh, you'll have so much fun. There's so much good. It's just a great time.
Well,
yeah, they
put live, no matter how it comes off on TV, I tell you, live, it's always a great – it's just a great thing. Mm-hmm. And part of it is being around those people that are, you know, the fans that – of like mind, and it just feels good to get a chance to talk to people and meet different people, and you know, most of them are really cool. You always get a couple, you know, dolts, but most of them are really cool.
And yeah, I plan on going next year.
I think that it just,
come on, guys, all of us, come on, next year,
let's do it.
Well,
I want to do the Vegas one too. Like, if they go to Vegas, I mean, the LA one works out perfectly because then I can go to a Laker game and I can go to Mania, so it works out perfectly for me.
As a fan, get
a Dodger Vegas game in two, I think too.
Vegas is close to Los Angeles. You can get there.
I can do, but well, you going to LA, you can get the Dodgers game in, you can get a Laker game in, and get Disney in. It's really perfect.
I think for me, ideally, I don't want to go back to MetLife Stadium. As much as I love New York, I want to go back, and my heart breaks for what's happening there right now. I'm seeing pictures from my trip from New York start popping up on my timeline. I'm like, oh, I can't. But I would absolutely love to go to a Mania in Vegas or Mania in L.A., just somewhere that's not MetLife Stadium, and you don't have to go to New Jersey for it. That's my only caveat and rule from now on, because you will get stranded again.
That'll happen no matter where you are. That happened to me at 31. It was worse for you, but it'll happen every time.
I figure, doing some research on Vegas, just where it is, the worst case scenario, you're a 40-45 minute walk back to the strip from that, where the location of the stadium that they're building. So I'm like, well, a 40-45 minute walk is a lot better than standing there for 3 hours trying to figure out how to get the hell off, get back into Midtown. But going to see a Mania, as much as rip on WWE, that whole week was a year ago, and it was an incredible experience.
I still think back to mine, and you know, it's 5 years ago now. I still think back, complete highlight. And the other thing is, if you're in Vegas, you don't have to wait till you get to the strip. There's stuff to do everywhere all the time.
We will hopefully see that in September. I plan to go into the Raiders home opener, but now that's obviously on the back.
Raiders still your team even after leaving.
Yeah, I mean, I am a little disappointed. Side note that they are still doing construction on the stadium right now. And I know that's been a big contention in Vegas of being like, they really shouldn't be doing construction on that stadium right now. Because
They're still working on it? Are you serious?
Yeah.
During this?
It's been a big deal. Yeah. One of the only operational things in Vegas right now is working on the stadium. Because it's not, it won't be done by the fall, and they would potentially have to play in Oakland still, which I'm totally fine with. they can just stay there.
The disappointing thing on all this before we get to the Mania card is tonight would have been Joey Janela's spring break, and we're missing probably the greatest match ever, which would have been Minoru Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy.
Wouldn't it have been Takeover tonight?
Unbelievable. Takeover was tonight too, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, cares? That was going to be Saturday.
Did you hear what he just said?
So, yeah. The Hall of Fame was tonight then, right?
Yes. The Hall of Fame, then it would have been Takeover, then it would have been Mania.
So what was going to happen to SmackDown originally?
Oh, I don't know actually what they would have done. I don't know what the order is.
Was it maybe the Hall of Fame was supposed to be Thursday?
Maybe.
The Hall of Fame was supposed to be Thursday, yeah.
Yeah,
right. So tonight would have still been SmackDown. And then, yeah, you would have Janela and all that as well. So
Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy.
Yeah, Zach, did you hear him? Suzuki versus Orange Cassidy.
That would have been fantastic.
I have never heard more casual fans talk about a wrestler except for Orange Cassidy.
He was on Katie Nolan. And I was like, what the fuck? Yeah, and Katie Nolan's... Well, he was supposed to be on Katie Nolan, and she's quarantined right now. She's like, the thing I'm the most disappointed is we can't get Orange Cassidy on the show now. And because he was just going to come, and she talked about this whole shtick that she was going to do on the Katie Nolan show. And she's like, I can't even do anything. And then I did some research. Katie Nolan doesn't know anything about wrestling, but she's like, I need this fucking guy to be on there. And then they talked about it on Levitard. They were showing clips of him on Levitard as well. And that, there was unknown anything about him. Levitard, this guy's so good. And Levitard's been talking about him. I was talking to one of my buddies from Miami. He's like, yeah, he's like, this Orange Cassidy guy, Levitard's been talking about him for like the last 4 months.
He is one of the best signings that AEW made, because what he is would never work in WWE, because Vince wouldn't have gotten it.
Vince wouldn't have gotten it, but also I was thinking this the other day. I'm like, this guy's so over and has never once cut a promo. Never once cut a promo. And it's not like Goldberg. I mean, he's never once cut. And that's incredible, which is why it would have been so good to see him on that show, because, you know, I just picture him not cutting a promo there, too. Mm-hmm. I never heard of Cock.
Them interviewing him and being like, whatever. And just the weak, Orange Cassidy has just clicked. And like you can see in his match against Pac, he can wrestle.
Oh, yeah.
Like he can genuinely, when he wants to go, he can wrestle.
I was very happy that wasn't just a comedy match. Like he started off with a comedy and then they really started it going. Talking about get going, we have 16 matches to talk about and we're 46 minutes into this pod. So
go watch some more of his stuff on YouTube then, because a lot of it, yeah, there's comedy, but most of the matches play out like the one with Pac, where yes, it starts off comedy, it looks like comedy, but then he starts to wrestle and he's very good.
I think he'll be AEW champion within the next 2 years.
He might not have a choice. He's so damn over.
Yeah, he really is. All right, who's ready to talk about this card? Who's ready to talk about the WrestleMania card?
Yeah, I'll talk about Stubborn Mania. I'm ready.
All right, I'm going to go in the order of least intriguing to most intriguing. Let's talk about the match, though. You know, the booking on one of these matches is, I mean, you know, you think about the great builds over the years, right? The Kennys and the Okadas, the Okada and the Tanahashis. The Austin and the Rocks, Hogan and Warrior, Savage and Hogan, right? The Brett and Austin, the builds for WrestleMania matches or Wrestle Kingdom matches. And I got to say that Aleister Black and Bobby Lashley is right up there, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's just the promo that Bobby cut and the backstage segment with Alistair and just the use of pyro and props, just and the sit down with Byron Saxton, just top notch.
Yeah, so I don't know why this match is happening, but it's happening, and I think I'm assuming maybe they have something to do with each other in the Battle Royal. Do either one of you know what happened? Did the Rusev Bobby Lashley match, as far as any of us know, have an ending?
Well, I mean, yeah, Lashley won, and then they came back on paper. On I think they did like a tag match right afterwards, and Lashley won.
And then Liv just disappeared from that, and then did something with the Riot Squad, and then basically, maybe they would have done. And then yeah, Liv was not lesbian anymore.
Oh, no, I think she still is. It's just, you know.
Well, Sonya got pretty pissed off, rightfully so. So they think that maybe that kind of smartened them up a little bit. It's like, oh, wait a minute, you have someone from the LGBT that's literally on your show, and you ran an ad for Total Divas before this segment of her coming out to her parents, but or being with her girlfriend or something like that. But yeah, that's cool. Let's make someone that's not part of the LGBT community in that. So yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but it's really funny because you said they got smartened up. So I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. So they are where they are now with this match. Do we think Rusev will get involved in this?
No.
So this is just a squash and poor Bobby Lashley?
Still waiting for his Brock match.
I don't know if it's a... You think they want to get the theory is they want to get a big win to Alistair, but I could see Lashley winning because this is one of the matches I just think to myself, oh yeah, they taped two endings and Vince in the last day is gonna go with the big guy.
Yeah, I really like that move there, and Lana in the back looks hot.
Pretty much.
That's pretty accurate.
I will pick Alistair.
Dummy, I will too.
But I will pick Alistair. But pick
Lashley.
Next up, we have the Lion King match. Simba comes back to his kingdom to take on King Corbin versus Elias.
So King Corbin has to win because Scar wins in Lion King.
Scar wins. Scar beats the shit out of Mustafa and then kills Simba.
Oh, man. I don't even want to think about this. You know what? I was thinking to myself, I'm like, what? Boy, I mean, one thing, it's like the top stars in like the Attitude Era were better, but the bottom part was better now. You know, the workers are so much better. Corbin versus Elias.
Yep.
Elias wins.
Yeah, Elias wins. Yeah. He fell for his sins.
Yeah.
Joel, you the same way?
I'm going to go King Corbin. What the hell?
Okay. The women's tag team match. I believe this was supposed to be Natty and Beth. I don't know what happened. Why it's not anymore. Natty hasn't been seen on TV since they've kind of gone into lockdown. But now it's Kabuki Warriors versus Bliss and Nikki Cross. I have the Kabuki Warriors winning this. I think they actually are entertained by Asuka. I don't know if they like her, but they're at least entertained by her, so I'll have Kabuki Warriors retain.
I'm going to go Bliss and Nikki. That just get the title on someone new, have a title change at Mania.
I guess that way you at least get Asuka singles again.
Yeah, I think that's kind of my theory, too, is get Asuka in singles again. And that's – even during this run, she's kind of being singles for a lot of it, it seems. So, yeah.
The Street Profits versus, you know, we have LOD. We have the New Age Outlaws. You know, we have the New Day, the Hardys, Edge and Christian, great tag teams. None better than the chemistry of Austin Theory and Angel Garza. So good. They don't even need to win their match before WrestleMania. They don't have to win any matches before WrestleMania. They got to take the title shot.
What's up with the Viking Raiders?
I don't know.
What can't you put the Viking Raiders in?
Why can't they defend their titles?
They lost the titles.
They lost the titles, right, yeah. But why can't they come back and have this match? It would be a good match, at least. I mean, this will be a good match, too. I shouldn't say that. Garza and Theory are great, great competitors, but it's just very bizarre that they're in this. I mean, then you know the guys too on Raw that are off the card that you almost would have made more sense to put. Like, I would have rather that Cedric Alexander and Ricochet team. I'm like, oh, that team could kind of be interesting.
Yeah. Or, you know, I mean, you could have. There's a billion guys on the roster you could have come up with.
Yeah.
To, I mean, it's just so weird, man. Hell, you could have just put Apollo Crews as a heel with Andrade, or even not as a heel. Or Mustafa Ali not as a heel. That, you know, he gets brought in for one match and they don't get along, and then they end up feuding, and we get them on TV against each other, and those matches would kick ass. It's just, I don't know.
Austin Theory debuted in wrestling in 2016. He is 22 years old.
Way too green. He's not that good yet. He has potential, but he's not that good yet.
Is this the youngest wrestler in WrestleMania history outside of Nicholas?
Oh, I doubt that. I mean, how old was Harry Smith Randy. When he was there? You would have been really young.
Or Randy.
Yeah, Randy would have been really young.
Or Rocky.
Rocky would have been young. Brock would have been young. You know, even The Undertaker was young when he first showed up, guys.
That's true. Big Red. I have Street Profits winning this match, though.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and then I don't know where the feud goes, but yeah, the Street Profits win. Next up, we have the match that suffers the most from not having a crowd. Otis versus Ziggler. We saw tonight, Mo. We saw the hacker. The hacker showed us what happened, Mo.
Yeah, he keeps on talking about truth, so I'm like, this can't. They're going to be doing something with R-Truth here, are they?
No, it clearly was a white hand.
Yeah, I know. I know.
So
it's
yeah,
I mean, weird to be continuing to say truth when you have a guy with that name. But yeah, I know. Yeah. So the Dark Order showed up, and I'm not sure who the I'm not at all sure who the Exalted One is, but
it's probably Austin Eric Theory.
Rowan. It's probably Aaron it's Rowan. Theory. Eric Rowan. I'm going with Eric Rowan. Yes, Eric Rowan.
Austin Theory. His theory is the truth. Otis obviously wins this, and it'll be a fun moment. But it just sucks that we don't have the crowd to cheer on Otis when he gets the win, and then even more when he gets the kiss.
And I bet you he doesn't win.
Otis?
Yeah. Oh, I think he gets the win. Based on what happened on SmackDown, I think he gets the win.
Yeah, based on what happened on SmackDown, it's pretty one-on-one stuff. Even for them, I would be very confident that he wins. I would be pretty confident that he wins, though. I wouldn't be shocked, though, if this is changed to a tag match, though, of Otis and Mandy against Ziggs and Sonya.
We'll see. I mean, I think you're going to see that Sonya and you know, it's funny because we talk about they like hotshot everything. This is like the one angle that they've taken months on, right? Now, I think Sonya's going to – I think they're going to play that out for a long – quite a while still.
Ziggler's first singles match in WrestleMania history, by the way.
What?
Never had a singles match. He's never had a singles match. It's his first singles match ever at WrestleMania. What? Yeah. Crazy, hey?
Yeah, that's nuts, dude.
Yeah. What else do we have on this show? Well, we have that ladder match that apparently is still going on, so Miz is on the show, it looks like. You would assume they'd change the advertising by now for this, at least.
I bet you he didn't. No, I bet you he's not on it. I mean, from everything I've heard, he's not on it. I'd be really surprised. Yeah, I mean,
if they again, do it's that,
just, it, we've. I mean, are you surprised if they don't? I mean, come on. If they do that, they've been doing that the whole time.
They literally had them with the title. I mean, at the titles during SmackDown tonight, like we were going to retain these.
I'll be really curious. We'll see what happens.
His, his tag team match, his tag team partner, Morrison's will be Sami Callihan, right?
Hacker.
There you go. We got it.
Yeah.
Who else can we get from Evolve? Who else can we get from Evolve?
Oh man.
It's so sad. Right. Okay. Let's pretend this match is as it is. Miz and Morrison, the New Day, and the Usos in a triple threat tag match for the SmackDown Tag Championship.
If it goes
as is, I have Miz and Morrison retaining.
Yeah, I think I'll go with Miz and Morrison. Feels like the Usos might get it, but I think it's almost like the Usos and the New Day, they cancel each other out here, right?
Yeah, I can see them doing this promo that they kind of did today. Like, we won in the Elimination Chamber, and then they'll say we won the ladder match.
Exactly.
You kind of, yeah, kind of see that thing.
And when I think about it, it's like, I guess Miz and Morrison, I think there's more opponents for them to defend against, right? So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of my theory on it. But
I'd ultimately have them lose to Otis and Tucker, to be honest.
Yeah,
that's ultimately what I think that probably would have been the plan had we had normal situations right now. Of you would have had Mandy with Otis and Tucker going forward, and then potentially they would have beat Miz and Morrison for the tag team titles with Mandy next to them. You would have presumed that would have been the idea, but now who knows? Next up, we have the Intercontinental Championship. Sami Zayn with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura versus Daniel Bryan with Drew Gulak for the Intercontinental Championship. This could be the match of one of the nights, maybe of the event.
I will say this. I have thoroughly enjoyed Bryan Schnick with Gulak. It's been a lot of fun. I think Bryan wins here, but I can also see Sami win. I just feel like you look at the guys, so Sami, Cesaro, Nock, Bryan, and Gulak. This really feels like, just from seeing them interact and everything, it just feels like five friends having fun. Like, it just seems like they all know each other.
They feel like the AEW crowd, hey? That just, yeah. You know, go and have fun with each other.
And I really feel like Bryan just calls his shots now.
And it feels like they're being left alone. That's mm-hmm. the key, right? Really feels like they're being left alone. I mean, this is one of those situations where it's just like, I respect Bryan so much. Because, you know, Bryan was sitting there going, Drew Gulak is so good. And you know, he was starting to do some really cool stuff on 205 Live. And then they bring him back over and give him the PowerPoint presentation gimmick, which he had dropped like 2.5 years ago, hadn't done forever. Because they don't know any better because they don't watch their own product. And it's just like Bryan sitting there going, you know what, I want to work with this guy. And he's so talented, and I'm going to elevate him. And he talked about bringing in, Chad Gable into the group too. And I'm like, that would be so great. And
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. He was talking about, trying to get him and having the three of them as a team. How cool would that be? He's one of those guys. He respects talent and people, and he wants to do the best with them. I do think he gets the belt here. Just, I think, storyline wise, it makes the most sense. So,
by the way, Mo, if you have a chance tomorrow, him and Nock tonight was actually pretty good.
Yeah, Nock, you know, maybe I got it. I didn't get a chance to get to it yet, but I mean, I got it. I got it taped here. I'm going to, probably shortly after do it, get to it. So.
Yeah, I was pretty happy with it. It was, kind of happy to see Nock in his element. I think this is probably the happiest I've actually seen Nock in a while. You can kind of get that sense that he just seems free and happy.
And Bryan couldn't stop smiling at the beginning.
No.
Yeah, it's just the only problem is we know that should have been on. That should have been on a pay-per-view. That should have been built up properly. The internet fan would have wanted to see that paid for. Yeah.
Let's just get it out of the way right now. Goldberg and Braun Strowman. We kind of talked about it already, so I might as well get it out of the way. I think Goldberg's winning this. And eventually we'll probably lose it to Roman. Because if Vince was going to put the belt on Strowman, he would have done it by now. And I just don't think he sees it with him as that kind of guy. So I have Goldberg winning.
I'm going to go Strowman. Just take a gamble on Vince changing his mind hours before the broadcast.
Yeah, I'm going Strowman. I think that it's been circumstances that is why he hasn't gotten the belt yet, and here's the right circumstance. I think they want to make my theory is they want to make this seem like a big event, right? They want to make this seem something important. And how do you do that? Well, one of the ways you do that is by changing titles. And this is something that I could see them doing to try and create some aura or mystique around this event in general. So,
Rhea Ripley versus Charlotte Flair. I think the original idea with this with Charlotte was, oh, we get Charlotte, we'll get more eyeballs for NXT against AEW. That did not matter at all. I don't think putting the title on her matters. I am going to risk against my gut in this one and say Rhea Ripley wins.
I think Rhea has I say that she has to win. She doesn't have to win, but I feel like for building her up, I think her getting a win over Charlotte adds that prestige that when someone does beat her, like a Candice LeRae or someone along those lines, or an Io Shirai, I think it elevates whoever beats her next. But I can see Charlotte winning.
You can always see Charlotte winning because even though she's not really that good, she always gets protected by them.
Yeah.
She's good, but she's not great. But she always gets protected by them. I think that this whole thing is designed though to try and get NXT and Rhea Ripley over. So I see her retaining.
Next up, we have the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship. We have Bayley versus Lacey Evans versus Naomi versus Sasha Banks versus Tamina. I am going with Sasha.
I am too.
This and finally getting this feud that we've been waiting a year and a half to get going to finally start get going whenever SmackDown does come back on air.
I'm picking Bayley to retain for the same reasons.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
God damn it. Tamina. When I talk about how this is not a main event to me, that kind of sums it up.
Can you tell me when Tamina debuted in WWE, like the main roster, Mo?
Oh, I would guess, just as a guess, it's got to be, I think it was shortly after Deuce and Domino left, right? So probably 2005, 2006? Is my guess. 2010. Okay.
But it feels that long,
like
right?
It feels that long. And I absolutely think that it's like, isn't she sucks? I'll say
what's
she
the most
sucks.
Circumstantial thing she's done?
She's not over.
AJ's bodyguard? Is that circumstantial thing she's done is be AJ's bodyguard?
Maybe when she was in the group with Sasha and Naomi, whatever that was called. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, something like that. But
it's she's that not or over. AJ's not bodyguard. Good.
And she's the type of person you don't – on WrestleMania? Talk about bringing down the brand.
I can't believe I'm saying this. I kind of wanted Carmella in this because she's gotten better.
She's gotten way better.
Yeah.
Way better. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, I thought Carmella deserved the opportunity. I thought the match she had against Bayley a while ago. It's like, oh, Mella's gotten a little bit better. And I know her and Bayley are really close friends in real life, and they've kind of developed a chemistry, and she was kind of part of this thing with Naomi. I didn't hate the idea. And I actually was happy when Dana Brooke was there because I think Dana has worked her ass off. I don't want to put a title on Dana Brooke by any means, but I do think Dana has worked really hard and has gotten better, and I was fine with her getting a WrestleMania match. Didn't want her to win a title, but I was totally fine with Dana getting it. But Tamina, I'm just like you, Mo, I'm just done.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Everything that you could feel about this is just like, whatever. Tamina. It's WrestleMania, dude. Tamina.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little whack. Next up, we have Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins in a singles match. This should be a good match between these two. I have KO getting his WrestleMania moment, quote-unquote moment.
Yeah, it would make sense logically from a story standpoint for KO finally getting his revenge on Seth. Mm-hmm. But I could see Seth winning too. Like it's one of those things where I would pick KO, but I think I'm going to pick Seth just because they'll want to throw some curveballs at us during Mania.
Do we see Joe in this match? Do you see Joe in this match?
I think Joe's still out with his concussion.
He's available for this. Apparently his suspension is over.
His suspension was over and he was backstage apparently at some point in the taping.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. That could happen.
But Buddy won't be right. Cause Buddy was in quarantine.
Yeah. From my understanding, Buddy was in quarantine. So I don't
think the other AOP member maybe then that wasn't hurt.
Well, yeah. Seth's group has just dwindled. Yeah. So maybe Joe just takes that spot.
I don't think so. No. I don't think they're going to turn Joe. I don't think they're going to turn him heel again. Well, they could.
He kind of was getting over.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, it's a damn shame they didn't. If they had just brought him in 5-10 years earlier, God, before his body was so beat up.
It's funny with Joe. Everything he has been asked to do in WWE, whenever he does it, it's fucking good.
Oh yeah.
And the thing is, Vince sees it, but Vince sees him as, oh, he's the Kane. It's like, you have to face Samoa Joe. He's that guy now. He's the Kane or the Mark Henry.
Snitsky.
It's that guy. It's like, you gotta face Snitsky. You gotta face Mark Henry. You gotta face Samoa Joe. He's that guy. Which isn't a terrible spot to be, but I guess it's better than what he had in TNA. I'll say that much at least. Can't get worse than taking away in a van with a tattoo on your face.
Oh man. They'll never live that down.
Or Kato.
Again, it blows my mind. He was there for, like, what, close to a decade? And
Yeah.
One-time champion. World champion. Yeah.
Well, one of the best matches I've seen. That cage match with Kurt. That was really good.
Oh, that was awesome. Yeah. One-time champion.
Just embarrassing. So Mo, who do you have winning this?
Oh, I think it should be KO. I'm not 100% convinced it will be. It should be KO, so I'll go with him.
Next up, we have Becky versus Shayna Baszler for the Singles Raw Women's Championship. Becky will have had the title now for a year.
Holy crap.
I still have Becky holding the title.
I think Baszler, well, maybe it depends on how Vince feels about Baszler. Because
with Ronda? Like, she didn't have kids, so what's going on?
I don't know that any of us know.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of holding it, because my thought always was that Ronda and her was going to come back, and the longer the title is on Becky, the more the Ronda match means. And now you've done a year of it, so now that means even more. And the way they build this match of is Baszler's a great heater, but I don't feel like she is enough of the opponent that would end the year run of a champion.
I mean, obviously the money is not Baszler and Ronda. It's or Baszler and Becky. It's Ronda and Becky. That's the money match. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's really tough to know what goes on in the head of someone like Ronda Rousey.
Yep. She got really weird on her Instagram saying, like, oh, we got a farm with all these foods. Too bad for you poor people. What the? You're a really weird person.
She said that.
Well, more or less, she's just like, oh, like, I see you guys are all shopping. Do we, Trav, do we have eggs? Oh, yeah, we got eggs. Do we have any meat? Yeah, we got meat. Do we got any meat? Yeah, we got meat. Showed all her coolers of meats. And do we got any milk? Yeah, we got milk.
Oh, my God.
Because they're on a farm, right? And they have all their stuff there. It's like, yeah, that's cool, Rhonda, but like, now's not the time to do that kind of heel promo.
Yeah. I'll say.
Yeah. Anyways, who do you guys have for this match?
I think they're too much in on Becky. My question for you, I mean, I think she wins it. My question is more, does she close the show?
No.
No. I think Edge and Orton are closing one, and I think Brock and Drew are. That's my prediction. I think Edge and Orton night one, and then Brock and Drew on night two. What do you guys have?
Yeah, I think it's similar. I mean, I could see them throw a curveball and have Braun and Goldberg and Brock and Drew close both shows.
Could. They absolutely could.
Yeah, well, and the last I heard was that they were going to go with that, but I don't know. I just don't see it happening. I still don't think that Vince gets Baszler.
I don't think so either. He never wanted her. It took him to the last second for her to win Elimination Chamber. He changed it. She was supposed to win the Rumble. Yeah. He's like, nah, Charlotte. So I just don't think he understands it or gets it. And I don't agree with this, and I know none of you do too. I think he looks at her and is like, well, she's just not attractive.
Well, yeah.
I'm sure that's part of Vince's part of it.
Of course it is.
I can just hear Bucky complaining.
Yep. This is what I mean. And She's also, part of the LGBT community, and and you have Sonya there, and they haven't
who's done anything.
The nice thing, isn't Sonya only like 24 or 25?
Matt, if AEW scooped her up, it'd just be a steal.
She's like super young. That's the thing that people don't get about her. I think people think she's a lot older than she is. She's very young. She's got a huge upside. But yeah, I mean, she hasn't gotten the push that she could have otherwise. And
she's only 26.
26. There you go. Yeah. Would you guys have assumed that she was that young?
No, I would have said like 32.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would have assumed similar. Age, so yeah, that would be a huge. I think give it a few more years. I think there's gonna be some names that we'd see on these Mania cards previously that were in lower matches and go, oh, they're big stars in here now, huh? Who would imagine that?
Yeah, I mean, not to divert to AEW, but that's the one thing they need is that real big women's star that they haven't been able to just get yet. They're still figuring that part out. Mm-hmm. And Sonya absolutely has the talent to do that. Absolutely has the talent to do that. So we all are you picking Baszler, Joel?
Yeah, I'm picking
Becky as well. You're going to go Baszler, okay. Next up, what are we going to go with here next up? Well, let's go with Edge and Randy Orton, last man standing match. This is, I know, Mo, you had your piece on this, and you made some good points. I'm still really excited for this match, just to see Edge again. He does look like an old man. I have, like, the promos. I think Randy, this is probably the best I've seen Randy's promos in a long, long time. Randy's just an absolute fire right now as far as promos go. And I have Randy Orton winning this match.
I absolutely can see it. I think I'm going to pick Edge just based on the storyline. It's Edge's returning moment to Mania. It's that nice little, you got to have it at least still a couple feel-good moments within Mania. And I think one of those feel-good moments will be Edge winning his first singles match back. Because this is his first single match since his neck. So this would be his first single match since Del Rio.
Yep.
Yeah, it's tough. Like if this is going on longer, then Orton wins. If this is a one and done between them, much like Joel had said, you know, he's got a limited bump card, then it's Edge. So I feel like it's Edge because I don't feel like it's the right time to beat him yet, and I think he's going to be doing some more whether it's Orton or not. But yeah, that's my guess. It's just like that's one thing I'll give this is, as much as I'm not into this card, and hey, even if it was in front of a live crowd and didn't have all the changes, this wouldn't be one of my most, anticipated WrestleManias of all time. But I have to say this, I'm sitting there waffling on a lot of the finishes, whereas I feel like in the past I've usually known exactly what the finishes are. So that's a good thing.
That's a very good thing. All right. Are you guys ready for these next two matches?
Sure.
I'm going to save the other one because I want to build up to that one because me and Mo have teased it on the trivia pod, on the comic pod, and we've built it on there. So we'll save up that other match. Let's go to the Firefly Funhouse match. Cena versus Bray Wyatt. The last time Bray was in something like this, it was the House of Horrors. It was a clean sweep for our worst match of the year. And I don't think that could not happen again. I don't know what to expect out of this. It could be really, really interesting and be like, wow, that was a really fun handful of moments and maybe forget about all the terrible things that are going on right now. Or it'd be like, wow, this is really bad also.
Go ahead, Joel.
I'm gonna pick Bray, but I don't feel confident about that at all.
You'd think it'd be Bray because Bray needs to get his win back from Cena from 6 years ago, and Cena brought that up. Logically, it would make the most sense for Bray to win, and I'm picking Bray, but in no world would I be shocked that Cena won. At all.
I definitely think, oh, come on. Cena's got to lose here. He's got to. He's not around anymore. He's there just to put people over. I mean, that's even before he left, he was largely there just to put people over. And you know, his last little while. So, I mean, he's definitely losing. My question is just how bad is it going to be, or good, or is it like that type of thing? That's more my, like, you know, worry about.
I guess they've had a week now to finagle with this. I don't know how long they had at House of Horrors to mess around with that. And didn't they come back into the arena too?
No, I don't believe they came back into the. Well, maybe they did. I can't. But I'll say this: they had all their focus on a billion different ways. You know, during the House of Horrors originally, this one they're more focused. They should be theoretically more focused on, you know, on the current product and what's happening. And
you think Cena, you know, being on movie sets now, maybe that helps in some ways of having some direction of things to how things go. I mean, he's been on major movies like the Fast franchise, right? And those are series that. Those are movies that knows what they are. They're ridiculous, but they know what they are for as far as entertainment sakes are. And that's what this needs to be, too. It can be ridiculous, but know what you are. Kind of like we talked about with Bray and Matt, right? With the Mower of Lawns and all that kind of stuff. You know, be ridiculous, but be what you are. And it's Joel that brought up the point yesterday with something like this, is get Borash behind this to, you know, have fun with this match.
Yeah, well, be careful giving Joel too much credit, though. I mean, you know.
I know. All right, next up, are you guys ready? It's the match, match at WrestleMania. Yeah. Are you ready for a good time? It's been stuck in my head for a month now. Boneyard match.
Oh, Lord.
Styles versus Joe on The Undertaker. Will we see a tiger in this match?
No, we will not see a tiger, man. But only because they didn't think of it ahead of time.
Oh, man, if they would have, definitely would have been a tiger.
Oh, they would have in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'd probably be a Joe Exotic tiger, too.
So what is this? Where is this filmed? That's my first question.
My guess is Universal. Because by the time they would have done it, Universal would have been empty. And they have all that stuff they do for Horror Nights there, so they probably have the props for it.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good theory. I think that's a strong theory.
They could even go to the Impact Zone, technically.
I was just going to say.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be hilarious.
Of AJ walking in and being like, nope, don't want to be here, and then just walk back and end up somehow back in the Boneyard, because Undertaker teleports him back to the Impact Zone. I think that would be fantastic.
I don't think that's Jeff's one thing. I don't think you're gonna get a lot of that supernatural stuff because of what we've seen from Taker's promos and such. So I think it'll be a Boneyard match, but I don't think you'll see a lot of that, you know, teleportation and shit like that. That you're seeing in the Bray Wyatt stuff. You might see teleportation in that match.
Do we see him come out to American Badass?
He's got to drive a motorcycle.
No.
Ride out on a tiger.
No. Comes out to his music, but it's interesting. I'm not sure exactly how they, you know, how do they, if he comes out to his regular music and he's not, like, what's he dressed like? You know, what's he wearing? Is he wearing his Undertaker gear? Or, it's interesting.
AJ comes up with the click. This is the match that we joke, like, I'm really interested in this. This is going to be the best Taker match in years because of the way they can edit it, and it's AJ Styles. So I think those combinations together, as much as we joke about the name, I'm actually really intrigued at what the hell this match is going to be. And I have AJ winning this match, which means the streak, if it didn't mean anything before, it really doesn't mean anything after this.
If he loses this, though, then he's done at Mania, isn't he?
Yeah.
You don't come back from losing if you're Undertaker in a Boneyard match to a guy who's been saying, you don't have it anymore. Like,
you couldn't to a guy saying, like, oh, you would never have cut it in the Attitude Era.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the question, is it?
Taker.
Yeah, I think Taker wins. I think, to tell you the truth, I think AJ's probably like, I'm here to put over the Taker. It's not like AJ's a young guy, and it's not like AJ.
No. I mean, I don't think we ever thought we'd ever see Undertaker and AJ in the first place.
At Mania, no less.
The unfortunate thing with this card, by the way, is we don't know what night any of these are on. I will assume with the two like out of arena matches with Cena and the AJ match, that those will be on different nights. They probably won't go back to back in those either.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do we have enough matches to do Raw for SmackDown on here? Like to do a Raw night and a SmackDown night?
I don't know. Count it down.
Let's go.
Whatever you SmackDown. Got from each brand.
So we got Otis and Ziggler, that's SmackDown. Sammy and Bryan, that's SmackDown. Elias and Corbin is SmackDown. Miz and Morrison is SmackDown. That's what? Sorry, I should be counting, actually.
That's four.
That's four. AJ is Bailey is five. Cena is six. Stroh is seven, right?
Yeah.
And so then there'd be six plus NXT. So yeah, it's actually, it does equal out because Charlotte is technically Raw, right?
Technically, yeah.
Yeah. So it would equal out. So we could very well see them go, this is the Raw show, this is the SmackDown show. And I know that Owens did say his show was on first. So maybe they go and do that. Could be.
And
who knows?
I don't think they'll do that. I don't think they're clever enough to do that.
No.
I think that they'll want to get. I think they're going to assume they don't want one night to have much more viewers than the other either. So yeah. Not that it necessarily would, but I don't think they want to take that risk. So yeah.
And the final match, Brock Lesnar challenges Drew McIntyre for the WWE Championship. Again, I really hate that Drew doesn't get to have his potential moment here. I have Drew winning. I think they'll have Vince come out and shake his hand, kind of fulfilling the prophecy type of thing. And that's how they'll end Mania.
I'm picking Drew as well. It's a shame because he deserves to have the crowd and the adoration of the crowd. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see Vince coming out, shake his hand, have everything come full circle, and then Vince turns on him and beats him with a chair, and Shane comes out, pins Drew, and
we got rid of Shane. We got rid of Shane. Shane's gone.
For a little while. Do you really think Shane's gone? Come on.
I had somebody today be like, you know, why can't Shane be in the Austin Theory spot? I'm like, shut up.
Oh, man.
Oh. Vince is getting ideas.
Jordy taped. It's too late. It's taped. It's already too late.
Who knows? Maybe we make this joke about Shane being WWE champion.
Still got keys to the PC. God damn it! Let's get to post done.
We can green screen it.
Oh, don't give them ideas, gentlemen.
Shane, don't do one of those falls. And I love you.
Yeah, I'm gonna. Oh man, I'm gonna go Brock because every time I think that Brock's gonna lose, and Vince just goes, "I'm paying him too much." And the other guy's not over enough, pal. If there's one guy I could see them waiting to put over in front of a crowd. I mean, you could talk about it's just that Goldberg's gonna lose to Reigns. I could see them waiting with the Drew thing, and I don't mind, to tell you the truth, the idea of more of a story behind the Drew thing. I think that's part of my problem with this is, you know, he was heel. All of a sudden, he kicks a couple people in the face. He seems to be a baby face. Then he wins the Royal Rumble. I'm like, there really hasn't been a storyline here, unless you're somebody who's been following the product for years and you know what the guy's been through. But as far as like telling a story coming into this, this is not like they've been building him up for years and this was the inevitable thing. So yeah, that's kind of. I don't mind if he fails here to win it later.
I mean, you bring up a good point. I mean, I was the one that they had the thing with Roman and Brock a few years ago, and I picked Brock then. I think this is Drew's time. They have a 24 on Brock on Drew right after Mania as well. So I think that could be kind of tipping the hand as well a little bit.
Yeah, but they had that on Reigns too at WrestleMania 31.
True.
And he didn't win it.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So
we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah. We shall see. So there it is.
I don't think anything is a slam dunk, that's for sure.
No, and like you said, the one good thing about this card is, for the most part, I don't think anything is like you kind of have, you go into a few matches like, oh, it's either or, except for the Otis match is the only one I can definitely be like, okay, well, Otis is winning there. It's unfortunate where we are for this Mania. It'd be really nice to have the crowd. It'd be nice to have the independent events. I feel really bad for them the most this week. It'd be nice to have the Hall of Fame. I was, again, like we talked about yesterday, I really wanted Bulldogs side of things. We can't preview TakeOver on here. And, yeah, so that kind of sucks. It's not a regular Mania week, which is really a bummer of the whole thing. Like, not get that excitement that you get during Mania week, regardless of what you think of the WWE product, is there's still that buzz you feel as a wrestling fan right now, and not having that right now is a bummer.
Yeah, no, the WrestleMania is special. No matter what else is going on with WWE, WrestleMania is and will always be special.
It's weird what a difference a year can make. I mean, it just speaks to the current climate, and it just, it's weird because, like, when I went down to New York, I wasn't going down for Mania. I was going down for the MSG show. Mania was just like, well, it's there. Always wanted to go to one. Let's go to it. And now you're kind of like, oh, that was kind of neat, because technically that was the last, I've been to the last Mania that was in a stadium in front of people. And it's weird because I was like, okay, well, this Mania is going to come, and the Mania that I was at will be further away, but it's weird. But it's an incredible experience, and it sucks for everyone that missing out on that opportunity, because regardless of how much complaining and joking we do about this card, there is the families and the kids that they were super hyped for this. They got their tickets in November.
Oh, yeah.
And just chomping at the bit to see Becky, because there are kids that absolutely, Becky is incredible at social media. Regardless of where the storyline is, she just seems to connect with the fans at such a great level.
She was supposed to come out of that truck, by the way. You know that truck they had in 316 Raw? That was supposed to be her entrance.
And that would have been a lot of fun for that crowd. Like, Drew's done a great job connecting. That moment for Edge connecting with the audience, returning after 9 long years. Like, there just would have been so many moments for that audience that has been taken away, and you're never going to get those back. But you're going to move
Edge,
on.
Edge is definitely the one who it's like he talked about it. Like, it's the that roar of the crowd that's what he missed, right? And of all the... everybody else can have a match, and it's like, they wish the crowd was there. But Edge, it's so few. And is he going to have a chance to perform at WrestleMania 37 in front of 80,000 people? Like, this might have been the only shot at this for him. And the others, pretty much everybody else has that shot. But nobody else, like, I don't feel as bad for anybody as I do for Edge, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean, we don't know. Like, maybe he's at Mania next year, but maybe, you know, he has one more bad bump on here. And, you know, I know he signed a 2-year deal, but Ronda signed a 3-year deal, right?
Exactly.
We've seen these people Edge sign these. Did he sign 3?
I thought he signed a 3-year deal.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, so, but there you go. So Ronda signed a 3-year deal, and that's not coming from Meltzer. That is coming from Ramona Shelburne, who is a very good journalist for ESPN, who covered Kobe very closely, covers the Lakers, the Clippers, and has been a close confidant to Ronda throughout the years as far as her UFC career even went. And she reported 3 years from her camp for the WWE, and we've only seen 1 year of that for Ronda so far. So you never know with what's going to happen with Edge. But, you brought it up too, Joel. Some of those kids, like, tickets for WrestleMania were probably literally their Christmas presents. Mm-hmm. And that's really sucked that those kids, you know, they're not at school right now. And I don't want to go down that path. I wanted to talk about WrestleMania, but it sucks right now that their life's a little bit more difficult right now. And the one thing they got for Christmas that they've probably been biting down and counting down the days for the last 2 months are like, oh, I get to go to WrestleMania. And watching those Raws and those SmackDowns eagerly, like I know you guys had for those moments. Sucks for those kids. They don't get that moment. And that ticket for LA, if it does happen, is going to be a very hot WrestleMania ticket next year.
Yeah. And I mean, like I was 26 when I went to my first Mania, and I was still like, oh, this is something that, like, I remember Rock in Austin and like 17 and 18 and 19, WrestleMania 20, but we'll skip over that. Like, I remember like all those Manias, everything having a moment or something that you were intrigued in and being young and excited and just like watching that promo video between Rock and Austin for 17 over and over again, just obsessed with the two of them. So it sucks, but if there's any solace, any consolation in this, that at some point we will get through this and there will be another Mania, hopefully.
It can't last forever, gentlemen. It can't.
Yeah. No. I mean, like I said, WrestleMania 37 is such a great, I mean, for kids too, you know, some of these kids that didn't get it, now you can potentially get the idea of like, well, you get to go to WrestleMania and you get to go to Disneyland. So you get the promise of that potentially on top of it, which, I mean, that's something that I'm kind of looking at. I'm like, trip to Mania is one that you can kind of have a lot of things particularly with, but I just can't get by like the buzz of what this week is. Like, this is Final Four weekend in WrestleMania. It always has been for me. It's one of my favorite weekends as a sports fan. And then after this, it's the buzz for the NBA and the NHL playoffs. And it's just so surreal right now to not have – I just don't feel that buzz. Like, we're talking about this tonight, and I just don't have that. We've done this podcast, what, like 3 years now between the three of us? I think it's the third one in a row now we've done with the three of us previewing WrestleMania. And, yeah.
5 years for you and me previewing Mania. Like, I remember previewing Mania 31, which is interesting because we previewed it. Mo was at it and just sitting there. And, like, it doesn't feel like we're on Christmas Eve. As a wrestling fan, it just feels like another weekend.
Well, it's the first WrestleMania, too, that Joel will be in Calgary since we've been friends that we will not see together, which is a real bummer. Sucks.
Yeah.
We've seen every WrestleMania that, as long as Joel has been in Calgary, we have made sure to watch WrestleMania together. Last year, obviously, he was at the show and then priorly had the job in Ontario. But as long as Joel has been in Calgary, we've watched a WrestleMania together. And this will be the first WrestleMania that I watch by myself since WrestleMania 20.
Wow.
Yeah, when's the last time you watched WrestleMania by yourself, Mo?
Oh, dude, it's... Yeah. I don't know, probably... Maybe 22? 21?
Yeah, it's been a while, right?
You know, there was a little while there where, you know, it was a little tough to find somebody who was into it because they had a little lull, but, you know, it's Mania. I think... Definitely since they've gone to the stadium format only, it feels even more important, and there's been no time. It's been easier to get people together for it.
There is a sense of like the Super Bowl or a major single sporting event where you're like, all right, I gotta get together and watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean... That's the weird thing. I mean, I remember I can't remember which WrestleMania it was. It was Punk's last one. I think that's 32, right? No, it's 29.
No,
29.
Oh, yeah. 29. Yeah, because it would have been Taker. Yeah.
That one I almost didn't have someone to watch it with. And the last second I was able to find one buddy to come and watch it with me. And then that led to a few more people at the last second. But that was like the one where I was like, oh, I might be watching this one by myself. But you kind of always like, I always kind of figure like, oh, I'll rally, I'll find somebody to watch this with. And this year it's literally not there. And then you have the kind of the conversations of like, oh, well, you know, we had talked about doing like a Skype or a Zoom or whatever for it. And I don't know if you guys have talked about your buddies or, you know, I know Joel and I kind of talked about it too, but it's also like, well, then you don't know how far ahead that person's feet is and you don't want to ruin the show. So there's that as well.
Yeah. There's all that weird stuff that you have to think about that you really don't realize you have to think about because it's just, you know, people do have to, especially when you're streaming so much.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's going to be a weird WrestleMania. Hopefully next year it'll be a more festive time and a little bit more excitement. I think I will, like, no matter how bad the card is next year, I will say, like, let's just be thankful that we get to have the crowd there and those people that get to go and enjoy the show, and that we get to have hopefully a good indie presence there next year is the main hope that I think we can all agree on.
It does make me want to go to a WrestleMania again more than ever.
Yeah.
No question.
Me too. Me definitely too.
And that coward Minoru Suzuki won't be able to duck Orange Cassidy.
No, can't duck him forever.
Nope.
All right, Mo, take us out with a joke. Because we need one right now.
Joke, yeah, we do need a joke. Cause
yeah.
You really put a bummer on that end, didn't you? So, wow. All right. So a man comes home from work and his wife, he comes home and his wife is there and she's in a really sexy black lingerie and just looking so hot. And she points at him and then she waves her finger to come with him. And he follows her into the bedroom. She lies down and she's put straps up on each one of the four corners. And she puts her wrist in one and she tightens it. And then she goes and she puts it in the other one. She says, "You tighten that one." He goes over and he tightens it. And she goes, "Now do my legs." He walks over and he puts her legs in the straps and straps her in so she can't get out in both of the legs. And she goes, "Great. Now you can do whatever you want." So he went golfing.
There you go. Thanks, Mo.
That was good, right?
Yeah, that was good. I enjoyed it.
All right. Yeah, that's one I like too.
There all right, you go. Guys. All right, everyone. Enjoy after WrestleMania 36.
We should be maybe talking again after Mania. We'll see how excited we all are and where we're all at.
Yeah. Everyone, enjoy WrestleMania 36. Please stay safe. Please stay home. And do your best. Cheers and enjoy the event, people.
Goodbye. And good night.